Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. This is part two. So Trays was my competition winner on Instagram for tagging my book on Instagram. So she's down now to do a podcast. If you haven't checked out part one, be sure to check that out. Some great questions on there. Different stuff from the book about setting up a fitness business. Things, my pet peeves in fitness. Loads of different things there. So be sure to check that out. So again, we're going to follow a similar format for this one. I don't know what the questions are in advance. Trays is going to fire them at me and I'm going to ad-lib them back, which is effectively what I do in most things. So Trace, thank you so much again for coming on.
Hello. So what are you most proud of?
Okay, so the thing, I'm going to answer this in two parts because I'm going to go with the cheesy one to start with just to tee it up. The most thing that I'm proud of is obviously Holly. My daughter is my everything. So the most proud thing I am in my life is my ability to be able to spend time with her and have her. So from a general, from an actual true for me thing, when I think proudness, that's what I think of. I'm going to answer this one to try and provide more value, so I'm going to go in a different direction with it. But if you're asking me the truthful, honest thing that I'm most proud of, it's my ability to be able to be there for Holly and help her on her journey and have her in my life. So again, it's a little bit of a cheesy answer, so I'll get that out of the way because that's not going to provide that much value. But the other thing that I'm proud of, for me, is my ability to push past a lot of the negativity aimed in my direction when I started my business first and I started my path first. When I look back now and I remember all the resistance I got from family and very close people in my life telling me I was an idiot and telling me I was stupid for quitting teaching and going into fitness, one of the things I'm most proud of was my ability to push past that. It's why I'm so animated when people come on or do Snapchats or ask questions about people telling them they can't do something, because people told me that exact thing. When I told my family, with the exception of my mum, who's always been my number one fan, and my sister a close second, always told me that I could do whatever I wanted to do, and were very, very strong drivers in my ability to make that transition. But other people in my life weren't. I got a lot of resistance and a lot of hate, and not hate so much as negativity. And they're two sides of the same coin. But a lot of negativity. People telling me that it's stupid. I was like, first I told them I was going to take a break from football and I was going to go compete as a fitness model because I wanted to try and leverage that to build my brand, which I effectively did. And they told me I was stupid. They were like, you're leaving a good job, good holidays and good pay to go work in a gym. So one of the proudest things I am was my ability to work past that and not let that negativity in and stop me doing it. Like they say, and one of my favorite quotes of all time is from Les Brown, and he says that you should never let other people's opinion become your reality. And had I let other people's opinion become my reality, I would not be doing this podcast now. I would not have my best-selling book. I would not have my social media platforms. I would not have my business, because I would have fell into what my family, what friends, what society said I should do, as opposed to trying to get my ladder up against the bottom of the right wall instead of climbing up the teaching ladder and in that profession, which was the ladder against the wrong wall. So the proudest thing I am, and this is why I'm so verbal and so animated about it when I tell people, is you can't let other people tell you you can't do something. Just because it's not in their reality, it's not their opinion of that moment in time, it's their perspective, you can't let that become your reality. One of the quotes in my book is the Marcus Aurelius quote, that everything in life is an opinion. Everything we hear is an opinion. Everything we see is a perspective. And that's all that is. People change with moments. When different reality become, or different situations change, people change their opinion. I have those same family members, and I remember one conversation in particular with a person, I'm not going to mention her name, who literally was like, you're an idiot. She was like, well, you're an actual idiot quitting teaching to go into a gym. She goes, you're not going to make any money, and you're going to be on the dole for the rest of your life, because she knew I was on social welfare. So I met with a lot of resistance. That same person, before the book came out, was like, oh, I knew you were going to make it. You've been amazing at everything you've done. And I'm like, you didn't. I was like, you didn't, though. But what had happened was reality moved forward. There was different evidence being given. And now the opinion had changed. The perspective had been changed. But we hold on to people's opinion like it's our firstborn child. People's opinions change consistently. We once thought the world was flat. We literally, everybody you would have asked would have said the world is flat until Aristotle proved from the way that the moon shone onto the world and its spherical effect back on the light that the world was round. And then we changed it. And then as people died off, we now all know the world is round. So people change their opinions all the time. And when you base the decisions you make in your life off what other people decide that you should do, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to achieve anything you want to achieve because you're constantly going to be going back to what other people's opinions are. I love the Seneca quote that if you go through your whole life making decisions based off your nature, you'll always be happy. If you go through your whole life basing your decisions off people's opinions, you're never going to be happy. And that's how it is. But people's opinions change. People's perspectives change. If you're somebody now listening to this who wants to play with his inter-county team, or a girl that wants to drop a few dress sizes, or someone who wants to leave their relationship because they're unhappy in it, or someone who wants to just change the body composition so you have more confidence, and you're being met with resistance, that's how people are. People will try and pull you back. That's a consistent thing across all cultures that people will do. You just need to be aware that that's going to happen, and you need to do your thing regardless. Just do your thing, and regardless of what other people's opinions are, you do the thing that drives you, because you know, like we all know subconsciously, even consciously, the thing we want to do. We know the job we want to do. We know the relationship we want to be in. We know all of these things, but we let fear stop us. And I love the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. And we let fear stop us. We let opinions stop us. And then we make stories in our own mind and use the cognitive dissonance of, oh, well, actually, that wouldn't really make me happy, when we fucking know it would. But we decide we're not going to because of something that somebody has said about us, or resistance that we've got from a family member. You need to make your decisions based out of the thing that drives you. I knew, there's a reason that I was 25, 26 before I started to quote unquote break out into what I wanted to do in my own life, was because I was met with that resistance up to that point, and I would just negate, go back into my shell and not let it determine what direction I took in my life. Or I would let it determine what direction I took in my life. Now it's why I'm so animated and so verbal about don't let people tell you you can't fucking do something, because you're going to have that in all aspects of life continually. I'm telling you right now, you're going to look for fucking permission and you're not going to get it. And if you do need permission, I'm giving you permission right now to go do your fucking thing, because it doesn't matter. That's what people are going to do for your whole entire life in all areas of it. So it's so important to know what you want. And one of the most proudest things I am was my ability to push back that, and now being able to give that information back to people so that hopefully doesn't stop them, and they don't have to wait until they're 25 or 26 or 57 or 58 before they do it, because they let the fear stop them and they let the opinion stop them.
That's cool. So obviously you've got a lot going on with like Snapchat, podcasts, top 50 programs and things. So how do you delegate all your workings?
So how I'm... This is something I've worked on a lot. I like to look at my life like an entire experiment. And I try and do experiments every single day on different things. And I double down on the things that work, and I get rid of the things that don't. One of the reasons that I read so many books now, particularly audiobooks, because I'm an audio learner and I learn way more from audio. That's why I love podcasts, why I love audiobooks, even though I do physically read as well, was down to experimenting. Which way am I retaining more information? And I can retain, like I will quote back, it's funny because we joked, my short-term memory, if I don't write things down, if it's not a main priority or a main focus, I'll forget the day-to-day things. But I can quote something from a book and tell you exactly what section it's in, particularly if I've listened to that book, because my ability to retain information from audio is way higher than being able to visually retain it. That was an experiment where I was like, okay, which way do I learn better? So I would literally read two books that are similar author, similar interests, and I'm like, which one did I retain more? So I learned that audio helps me retain more information. So in terms of my learning style of the things that move my business and my life forward, I know that I'm always going to go to audio first because of my ability to retain that information. And that works for my business as well. Now, one of the things that I do with podcasts, with videos, with different writing things that I do, I batch a lot of my work. So my podcasts, I'll record 2-3 weeks worth of podcasts in one go, or in 2-3 days, and I'll have 2 or 3 weeks worth of podcasts done. I'll do the same thing with videos, and then I'll do all my live stuff every single day because that's the stuff I love to do. My Facebook lives, my Instagram lives, my Snapchat Q&As, they're the things that I would all do for free if I had 10 million euro in my bank tomorrow, because I love that. I love the podcast as well, and I love the videos, but I batch them because for time effectiveness and with my schedule, and I always want it because Holly always comes number one. My daughter's always number one. So if something happens, and I have a great relationship with her mother, so we'll regularly take her to the park or we'll take her to a play place and do those things just so we can do that. And that has always been number one for me. So I know when I batch my work and I have it there, I can move the other things around because my value ladder is different because Holly's the top of that ladder. My family, my mom are there too, and then my business, but that's my value ladder. So it's very important to know what's important to you. And it doesn't matter, your kids may not be the top of that ladder, your partner may not be the top of that ladder, but being okay with that is very important to know. But in terms of the delegating of work, I've also got Emma who does a lot of my email work. And for any of you who messaged on Facebook, largely it's Emma that's replying or she's dictating back what I've said. So Emma will make notes of all the things that came in on Facebook and I'll dictate them back to her, or I'll sit in a room and she'll do all the written responses or the video responses. So that's kind of how I get around making sure that I'm able to keep up with 200-300 emails that we get every day and making sure that we're able to get back to everything. So it's delegating that work, particularly the Facebook. Emails are a little bit easier. A lot of it's the same stuff coming back. The programs are similar. They're kind of scaled up and there's different variations of it. And then I work with them through coaching people. And it was the same in the Top 50 program. So again, it's very much understanding what systems you have in place and then reverse engineering how you want to work. I want to be able to take an hour off during the day because I want to spend it with Holly. I want to be able to go down to her and read her a bedtime story before she goes to bed. I want to be able to do all these things. So I prioritize my life around that and make sure that I have systems in place that allows me to do that. There was once upon a time that I was running around like a headless chicken consistently, getting videos done, doing podcasts this day, and then I wouldn't have the time for the things that were important to me because I was being a busy fool. I wasn't being good with my time. And I'm a worker. Like I do grind and I work, and I'll work 14, 15 hours a day, Monday to Thursday, and then I'll work a half day on Friday, and I take my weekends off and I spend it with Holly. She's with me Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, I will do that. But there was a time when I was doing that and I wasn't being as productive with it. Where now I understand the Pareto principle of being 80%, 80-20, that 80% or the 20% of the effort you put in gives you 80% of the results. So now I spend time batching content and then I do all, like the Snap Q&As, the live videos, that's not work to me. Like you can tell when I come on, I'm like, right, yes, let's go, let's do it now. Because it's the highlight of the whole day. I can't wait for it. It's why I save it for later in the day. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. So it's very understanding to reverse engineer you and knowing how you work and then making sure that you're doing, like I also do the Eat the Frog, which is the Brian Tracy, that if you eat a frog first thing in the morning, the whole day is better from there. So any tasks that I'm like, oh, I'm not gone on that. Like I hate working on Word documents and files and PDFs. I hate that. But there's times when I have to do it. I have a tech team and I have other people, but there's a time when I have to do it. I'll do it first thing in the morning. I'll knock it out of the park, get it done, and then do all the other things. So I build my day around that. I also have a structure of what I'm doing every day. I have my to-do list, and there's a great book by Gary Kelleher called The One Thing, which really helped me with that to-do list, because there was a time when I'd have 15 things on that to-do list. And Gary Kelleher talks in that book, The One Thing, that really if you scale things back, you can see there's only one or two things you need to do every day because it makes everything else obsolete if you do them. So I have my to-do list and that has my one or two things that need to get done on Monday or need to get done on Tuesday. And then I have my content that's going out on that day. And even though I pre-made the videos, I still post them out on schedule. And then I have my brand stuff that I'm doing, which is building brand, which is my Facebook Lives, my Q&As and all of these things. And I break my day up into those three sections, my to-do list, my content and my brand, and then everything else in terms of managing a day-to-day business, making sure the programs are running, making sure the website, everything has been scheduled and updated and done, my emails, my messages, my DMs, all that stuff I do in between. Like I will work, you know, I get up at 6 a.m. every morning, and I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock and I'll probably take, with the exception of my time I'm spending with Holly and the time I'm in the gym, I'm working in between those times. I'm replying to DMs. Even if I'm traveling somewhere, I'm replying to DMs on Instagram. I'm doing, because all those messages are me. Like, it's me replying to you. Like, people are on Snapchat and they're like, oh my God, you replied on Snapchat. I'm like, yeah, because I'm replying. I'm literally spending all my free time doing that because that's what's important to me. I'm like, well, somebody is taking the time to message, and again, I can't get back to everybody because there's so many, but the ones that I do open, like you will very, very rarely see, unless it was somebody else going through and sorting out something on a program, you'll never see a seen message that I haven't replied to, because if I've opened it, I've replied to it, you know. So That's just about how I split my day up, and understanding that what the end goal is, and then reverse engineering that back, understanding how you work and reverse engineering that back, and then understanding what you want to achieve and what you want. Do you want that 3 hours during the day to spend it with your kids? Reverse engineering that back. And when I say reverse engineer, I mean you just basically work backwards. When you know what the end goal is, and I spoke about that in my book, The Fitness Mindset, having the end goal in mind, when you know what the end goal is, you just reverse engineer it back. You just work backwards. You inverse everything. And that goes for everything in life, your job, your relationship, your fitness, your body, everything. What do you want? What's the end goal? And you just put the steps in place and reverse engineer it backwards. And that makes life a lot easier when you work in inverse, because when you work going forward, it's sometimes more difficult because you can't hit a target you can't see. So it's important to know what the end goal is and then reverse engineer it to work for you.
Cool. And so what have you learned about yourself in the last 6 months?
So in the last 6 months, probably the biggest thing I've learned, and I spoke about this a little bit in part one, was that any feelings that I have that are negative towards another person are normally something that's going on within me. And it's funny because Paul, who came through my mentorship program, Paul's one of my best mates, and he always says, he goes, the only difference between you and other people on the internet is when I get a hateful comment, I'll use it for content. And I'll argue my point back and I'll use it for content. My whole hate section in the book and dealing with negativity came out of an attack that I got on a post once. I put up a post and literally people came flushing in and were hating like crazy. And it rocked me a little bit because it was the first time that I had got a lot of inundated on one post of negativity aimed in what I was saying. So what I actually did was I wrote an entire, that whole negativity and hate section about the projection of the way you feel and that opinions and perspectives change was all written off the back end of a negative comment. And Paul, or negative comments, and Paul always says, he goes, the only difference between you is that you take those negativity and you make content out of it. And I do that all the time. Like, I'm the first one to admit that I don't know everything in the world and I never will. And I'm very, very willing to change my opinion on things, with the exception of the laws of physics. I'm not going to jump out of a fucking building. With the exception of the laws of physics, everything else is open to discussion. We once thought the world was round. We once thought all of these things. And I'm a victim of it. I demonized and dogmatized things like, oh, high volume training will work and it'll get everybody lean. And you can't have your processed foods or your Cocoa Pops or your Monster or all these things. They're bad for your body. And the truth is, I still feel that they're not optimal, but they definitely fit in for some people. Some people will have Cocoa Pops post-workout and that keeps them on track long term. Some people will have cans of Monster because it's their little bit that gets them through the day. So people come through my programs and we'll factor that in because that's what works for them. There was once upon a time that I didn't think that was right. I thought that, oh no, that's wrong. When I realize now that it's all circumstantial, it's all context, it depends on the person. And what I've learned about myself majorly over the last 6 months is my ability to detach and not have an attachment to any idea except for the fucking laws of physics. Like, that's probably the only difference, that everything is open for debate. And anybody that comes on my pages and argues the point, and I'm like, awesome. I'm like, I love to hear constructive feedback. When people are being dicks, I don't even respond to those comments. I'm like, all right, you're being a dick. Like, you're hating because there's something going on within you and you're projecting it onto me. I'm like, go deal with your own shit. But when someone comes on with something constructive and they're like, well, actually, I read a study that says this is better than, you know, MCT oil or whatever, I'm like, awesome, okay, send it to me, let me see it, let me read it, because it expands my knowledge and allows me to create content off the back end of it. So one of the things that I've learned about myself over the last 6 months is that my ability, I know I love the Buddha quote, that the suffering comes from an attachment of an idea, and I never suffer now in any negative comments. There was a time when I did, and it used to rock me to my core, and I did speak about this in the book, and I spoke about it on the other podcast, that those negative comments aimed in my direction used to rock me. And now I understand that everything's an opinion and a perspective of this moment in time. However, over the last 6 months, I've really started to internalize the fact that nothing is set in stone. Things are constantly changing. Like, you go back to ancient Greek. This is why I spoke about this with Paul yesterday. We were talking about gay marriage in Ireland and things like that. And I was saying it's awesome that when Holly's our age, it won't even be a thing. You'll literally be able to hook up with a guy or a girl and no one's going to bat an eyelid. Whereas my generation of parents, grandparents, it's still a bit of a taboo. And I love that. And the truth is, you stood in, I'm a history geek. I love history. You go back to ancient Greece, it wasn't even frowned upon. Alexander the Great, who would literally conquer the world, His lover, I can't remember his name, Iglesias, was his lover his entire life. And Alexander the Great used to have sex with women. He got married to merge different things so he could conquer the world. But he had his lover, and that was seen as normal at the time. But that changed when the Roman Catholic Church came in and got more power. And they wanted to obviously build up the population. And they made it taboo that gay people shouldn't be able to have sex together because they can't procreate and all these things that came with it. So everything changes depending on what society is into at that moment in time. Prohibition in the US was illegal at one moment in time. You couldn't drink alcohol. I put up a post on an Instagram. It was actually an Instagram live we put on the podcast about the studies they're doing on MDMA, which is ecstasy, on people with depression and making them feel better. And I had people going, oh, you can't fucking say that MDMA is going to be legal. I'm like, shit's only illegal until it's not. Yeah. I'm like, alcohol was illegal in prohibition. I was like, it's not illegal anymore. I was like, so things change, society changes, opinions change, perspectives change. And over the last 6 months, I've really got to grasp with that in all areas of life. So now I'm not married to any single idea except for the laws of physics and the things that have been determined that, yeah, if I jump off a 10-story building, gravity's not going to support me and I'm going to land and crush myself. With the exception of those things, I'm open to everything. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned about myself over the last 6 months. And that comes down to reading more book, being more eclectic in my learning, which basically means I'm taking philosophies from different people and internalizing and then utilizing on what works best for the majority of people or what works best for the individual case. There's people, and the 90% of people that come through my program won't use a can of Monster as their pre-workout. But there's 10% of people who are like, this gets me through my day and keeps me on track. I'm like, awesome, we use it. Yeah. So it's a case of not being tied and attached to any idea. And over the last 6 months, I've really noticed that it is something that I've been able to get stronger at every single day, because the more opinions I see, the more I'm able to learn, and then I'm able to contextualize it for different people.
Yeah, which is good, because what works for you might not work for me, so... Yeah.
100%. There is no one size fits all. Like, I spoke about that in interviews I did for the paper, for different papers, with the Daily Mail, the Star, for the book. And I'm like, there is no one size fits all. I like, if there was, and everybody would just follow that size. I was like, if there was one training program and one nutrition plan that worked for fat loss, everybody would do that. Yeah. You know, there is no one size fits all. There's different things that come in. Lifestyle, schedule, psychology, history, all of these things come into it. And it's about adapting to the person and making sure that it works for them.
So is there anything that you still find challenging in your fitness career?
In terms of fitness, as in my own fitness, or in terms of the business side?
In terms of business.
In terms of business, and this is the same with everything in life, I think if you're not struggling at some area of life, you're not growing. I love the Vincent van Gogh quote that the comfort zone is great, but nothing ever grows there. And it's true. And I find that even with business, the things that scare me, I saw a great interview with Will Smith once upon a time. And he's like, I started to attack fear at a young age.
That was good.
I love that. And I started to apply that now. And generally, I'll make decisions. Again, I'm very good at objectively stepping out and going, okay, what's best for business? What's best for my life? What's best for all these different things? But I've started to step into things that scare me. Now, again, fear is just false evidence appearing real. It's not really a threat or anxiety. We're not living with fucking saber-tooth tigers or dinosaurs or something that's going to eat us realistically. We're in the Western world with the majority of people listening, and we're going to be okay in that area of life, apart from some people that will have rattlesnakes. I know you spent time in New Zealand, Australia, things like that. So that's fear. That's, you know, something physiologic or could actually physically happen to you. In terms of business, stepping into the fearful situations, it's funny because once upon a time, I remember in secondary school, I used to be terrified of public speaking. And I remember one of my teachers at the time literally made me go and narrate an entire school play at like 16. And I was terrified, but I was really good at it. And I went in to do a marketing degree. And the reason that I did so well in university was my ability to speak. The reason I was a good teacher was my ability to articulate and break down ideas. The reason that my podcasts and videos and stuff are well received in large part is because my ability to break down information. So that's effectively public speaking. I'm a very strong public speaker now. But that once upon a time was a terrible fear. And I was able to apply that to most aspects of my life now, and particularly in business. The things that scare me the most, the scaling up, the making sure that you're able to have the ability to serve all the people that are coming through the programs, they were things that kind of scared me once upon a time, because it was the fear of success, because there's so many people coming through my GA Lean Body program now, my top 50 program. there's always that, there was that fear for a while that, well, will I be able to keep up with demand? Yeah. But you grow as a result, and now I have systems in place, I have coaches in place, I have systems where people can message, I've got my live Q&As, I've got different things that people are able to do to come through the program, and I was able to adapt with it. So right now there's no fear, because I've reframed it into, well, if I need to step it up, I step it up. So right now, in terms of business, there's no direct fear. It's excitement, and you can redirect it, because energy is never lost, it's transferred. So you can take that energy that's leading into fear, and if you can translate it into excitement, that gives you a whole different area and different body state to be able to work with, and can help you achieve a lot more things, or at least it has in my case. So hopefully that will resonate with people, and realize that the things that you're scared of, that energy that's welling up inside you, if you can transfer that into something more positive, you're going to achieve great things with it.
So, some fun questions. So, what is your middle name?
My middle name is Jared, which is my dad's name.
Cool. What's your favourite colour?
I want to say blue, but it's red because I'm an Arsenal fan, so it's probably red.
Arsenal.
isolated half the people listening. Fucking Arsenal fan.
Who is your favourite superhero?
I'm a Batman guy. It's funny because I have one of my best mates who lives in LA, and he's a Superman guy, and I'm like, but Superman's not real though. I'm like, Batman could be real. I'm like, it's just a guy that's really intelligent, that's able to put stuff together. So Batman is my guy, and I love the Christopher Nolan movies. The three Dark Knight movies are like three of my favourite movies.
Are you afraid of anything?
Snakes. Yeah, snakes, which is, it's funny because as I read more evolutionary psychology, and there's a great book by David M. Buss, he's the Harvard professor who teaches evolutionary psychology at Harvard. He talks about that we are hardwired in our genome, which is our DNA effectively, to be scared of snakes, because the people that evolved over time were the people that had that rational fear of snakes, and they were more likely to procreate and pass on their genes because they avoided poisonous snakes. That's why people are afraid of spiders as well. So the people that haven't been had exposure therapy, which is a great psychological trade-off where you're exposed to it. So people that grow up in Australia, for example, see a lot of snakes, so there's exposure there, so they're not as afraid, where people that haven't had that exposure, so there's a hardwired thing in our genome and in our DNA is that we're going to be scared of snakes and scared of spiders. That's why it's such an irrational fear. But like when you see the statistics of the chance of you dying by a snake bite compared to be hit by a car, but cars haven't been around long enough for us to evolve it in our DNA to be scared of it. So I rationalize my fear by like, it's evolutionary psychology. It's fine. David and Buzz said it's cool.
So if you won the lotto, what would you do?
I would be doing exactly what I'm doing now. Except on a bigger scale and faster. I knew I had made it, quote unquote made it, when I would wake up every morning consistently day after day, and that was my answer. That if I won the lotto, I'm like, I would still do everything I'm doing now. I would scale it up, and I would make sure that I was putting more budget into advertising, marketing, coaches, and I'd scale it up. But everything I'm doing now, I would do if I won the lotto, 10 million, 100 million, a billion, I would be doing it now. The exact same thing. And for me, my greatest taste of success and the day, again, you never make it or you never arrive. But for me, that was the day that I'm like, okay, I'm on the right path now, because I built a life that allows me that if I had 10 million or 100 million in the bank, I would still be doing what I'm doing now.
That's cool. And three things that you can't live without.
Practically or emotionally, like in what sense? Obviously, you can't live without family. I'd struggle to live without the people closest in my life. Do you mean practically?
You can do both. Practically.
So I couldn't. Again, this is one of the things that scares me, because again, when we talk fear, the only fear I have, and the only time you will see me stopping videos and taking a break, is if something ever happens to Holly or something ever happens to my mum. They're the two times. If you see an absolute break from all content or business or whatever it is, something has happened to my daughter or something has happened to my mum. So there's a genuine fear, and this is why I don't get fucking, I worry about stupid shit. I'm like, people are like, oh, he called you a dickhead. I'm like, I don't give a fuck if he called me a dickhead. Like, or all the silly stupid shit, or do I look nice in this, or all of these things. And I'm like, well, my fuck. I was like, if somebody rang me in the morning and was like, your mum has cancer or your daughter was in an accident, I'm like, that's a fucking problem. I'm like, that's like all these other things, they're all just subjective things that are a bit inconvenient, you know. Even when you have a stomach bug or you feel unwell, I'm like, well, at least there's nothing wrong with my mum or my daughter. Like all of these things. So that's a genuine fear. So I don't want to say I couldn't live without, because I'm aware there are external things that I can't control and something could happen to either of them. So I don't want to say I can't live without it, because people are very, very strong in their ability to survive. I love Viktor Frankl's A Man's Search for Meaning, coming out through a concentration camp. So people's ability to survive through the worst things in their life, I'm aware that you would find a way. So that's the kind of genuine fear, the things I couldn't live without. On a practical side, probably I couldn't live without my books, reading. Like every night when I go into bed, I have a really weird thing that I do where I have that grateful moment of my mum is healthy, my daughter is next door, or she's safe in her house with her mum, and I've got my books and I've got my library and I've got a bed and a roof over my head. Like every single night I go to bed and lie down, that's what enters my head. It helps me sleep, because I used to get really bad anxiety at night, and that's the strategy that I've developed. I'm not saying that will work for other people, but it's a strategy that I developed myself and has worked, and I double down on it. So books, reading, things that expand my mind and my consciousness and allow me to see different perspectives and opinions, that's something that I'd struggle to live without. High into practicality, the gym, training. Training's my effective form of meditation, and I've done different forms of meditation. The one that works best for me is the gym, because it's my disconnect completely. So I would really struggle to not have that or some form of exercise in my life. And then third, if I was going with something physical, I love my noise machine that helps me fucking sleep at night. I'm not a good sleeper. So my noise machine travels with me everywhere. It's just white noise, blocks off everything in the background. And that's kind of like the practical thing that I probably couldn't live without. I could live without it, but it's one that I'd prefer not to.
Awesome.
So that's all the questions. So love the mixture of fun ones there at the end. So a massive thank you to Trey. So for more information about me, you can head over to my website, www.brankyfitness.com. All the information on my top 50, my online program, my G18 body program's on there. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram's all Branky Fitness. My Snapchat, BrankK019. And Trey, where is the best place for people to find out more about you?
You can find me on Instagram. Just look up Gym and Jeans.
Awesome. And again, massive thank you to Trace for entering the competition, for coming up, for the awesome questions, and thank you to everyone for downloading and listening. Catch all of you soon.